Crossroads, East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM. I'm delighted to be joined again, and I spoke to this man a while ago now, I suppose. Gerry O'Brien, President of Irish Equity. Gerry, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Hi, how are you? And thank you for having me back.
Gerry, the last time we spoke, I was flabbergasted and dumbfounded with what you were telling me about the different rates of pay between producers and actors in the South and their counterparts in the North, and even if they work in the North as opposed to work in the South. Has anything changed?
Well, what we did, we had the AGM, the Annual General Meeting of Equity, which was attended by members, all the members of Equity, and we passed two motions to say that we approved of co-productions in Ireland using the same terms and conditions as they do in Northern Ireland, and that's for both television and film. Because, as I explained to you the last time, the local agreements or even alleged agreements that exist, they're not sufficient and they're not fit for purpose under the new legislation of the Copyright Act. So now we have a mandate from Irish actors and the members of Irish Equity that we want the same equal terms and conditions. And this is, by the way, is at the very minimum level. This is, you know, actors, they have a minimum level, and then as they gain more experience, they negotiate above that. So we've said that that structure would work for us for co-productions coming into this country, where there are foreign investors coming in and availing of the tax break. So that was passed unanimously at our AGM. So now our mandate is to implement that and to go back to talking to the local producers and saying, look, you can't have a situation where the taxpayer is subsidising a situation where Indigenous Irish actors are in inferior terms and conditions to any other actor coming into the country. So it's basically to create a level playing field across the 32 counties of Ireland for actors and for their terms and conditions.
Gerry, as we discussed last time, this is the buck here is going to stop on a ministerial desk, and I presume it's the arts, culture, heritage, the Gaelic, or whatever you're having yourself. So, I mean, until such time as it's signed off on by that department, it's still only aspirational. Am I right on that?
Well, no, it's a complex relationship between both the unions and the Irish producers, because the Irish producers would have had a greater lobbying influence with legislators than we would have had. And I don't think the legislators are fully aware of what happens on the ground, because these would be internal agreements between the Irish production companies based here, because they have to have an Irish production company in order to facilitate and to access the tax break. So a big company coming from America, the UK, would have to work hand in glove with an Irish producer who would look after the logistics here in Ireland, including the contracting of our members. But as I say, the BBC would have a set of terms and conditions that would be more favourable. And coming into Ireland, they're not bringing the favourable terms and conditions into Ireland, but through the Irish production companies, they're getting, you know, lesser terms and conditions for the Irish performers, and there's a huge pay disparity, and they're also accessing public fundings. Where it would possibly fall to the politicians is to be aware that, you know, the legislation of the Copyright Directive was implemented at the end of last year and was incorporated into Irish law at the end of last year. So that must, in my view, that must accompany any public funding that goes into the film industry. So all of those terms and conditions of the UK agreement actually comply with the legislation and allows for the actors to get their residual payments, etc., which it's messy and it's scattered with the local agreements because they're very difficult to penetrate, whereas the UK one is quite open and it's perfect in every way. Not perfect in every way, but we'd all like a better terms and conditions. But it has a better structure for the industry, for the engagement of performers. So that's what we're setting out to do. So yes, it will eventually mean that we will have to talk to legislators.
But, I mean, could we not, I suppose that's a wrong phrase, a wrong use of grammar, could you and, by extension, your association, not circumvent all this and demand a meeting with the minister and say, look, this is what's happening. By the way, I think it's only fair on us to point out to you, there's the legislation. You decide what you want to do but don't say you weren't warned.
Yeah, well, it does require more, like, that's a blunt way of putting it. But after the AGM, we are now sending out letters to the...
But I mean, in fairness, Jerry, not interrupting you, Jerry, which of course I am, but yes, it's a blunt way of putting it, but I mean, it's time that those sort of blunt, straight-talking measures were adopted, I would think, because every day that goes by, your members are being disenfranchised.
Oh, absolutely, I agree. I agree, and yes, I think it should be a decision up to the ministers involved, both the Department of the Arts and Culture and the Finance Department, who have to approve all of the 481 tax breaks with the Irish producers. So yes, I agree, there has to be a certain amount of legislative control in it. But again, it is a commercial and predatory industry, so the government can do a certain amount, but it is up to the two parties to actually sit down and be fair to each other. And unfortunately, in the commercial world, being fair to the underdog is not the best way to be. And actors individually didn't have a voice, and now collectively we're trying to make that voice heard. So yes, eventually it would have to be heard at a legislative level, so that we say to ministers, look, if you're putting public funding into the film industry, it is ludicrous that you have Indigenous Irish performers engaged in a situation where their terms and conditions are inferior to and may not comply with legislation to visiting performers. So yes, I agree, there will have to be possibly, an intervention from ministers at this particular time. So that's where we're at. But we would try to sort of constantly negotiate. That's the nature of the union, that we will constantly negotiate for better terms and conditions. But our members, as individual citizens of Ireland, have a right to have their rights respected. And those rights are now, incorporated in the Copyright Act and the European Copyright Directive, which are part of Irish legislation now.
Which has been nicely sidestepped and ignored as well, from what I hear. Tell me this, Jerry, just to put this in perspective for our listeners and to refresh my memory. A series is being made in Dublin, let's say for argument's sake, the likes of A Love Hate or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will have Irish-based actors who are living in Ireland and working in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm specifically mentioning Love Hate because of Tom Vaughan Lawler. Now, I think Tom is based in England and lives in England, am I right?
Yep.
So he comes in here to play a role in Love Hate, which is filmed all over Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean then that he's coming in on a higher and better terms than Irish based actors who are in the same series with him? How does it work that way?
Well, I couldn't talk to Tom Vaughan Lawler because that depends on his relationship between his agents and his management coming in from the UK. But sometimes a lot of actors coming in from the UK, not specifically just Irish actors, but UK-based actors and Northern-based actors, sometimes their agents will say, no, we're not going to do that contract. And they will work on the better terms. And there will be a huge pay disparity between the local Irish actor who may be playing a similar role. I mean, I had an incident myself recently where I was working on a TV series being shot here in Ireland. And I was on the daily rate for the TV series. And there were two very fine actors and colleagues who were brought in by the other co-producers because it was a co-production between an EU country and Ireland. Now, the rates of pay that they were on were significantly greater than the rate of pay I was on. In one case, at least double what I would have been getting with a colleague from another EU country who would have been at the same level, say, as me, would have the same experience, the same standing, and would have been playing a similar type of role in the TV series. So there's no progression for Irish actors within their career financially. They're kept at the same level, and negotiating beyond the minimums is sometimes very, very difficult.
And Jerry, can I just ask you then, just specifically in relation to that, undoubtedly, and as I can say this without having any proof, Jerry O'Brien pays his taxes, PRSI and everything else here in Ireland. That person that was on double the rate that you were on for the same job, where do they pay their taxes for that production?
Well, they pay it in their own country. I mean, there will be, you know, a certain deduction of withholding tax here, but at the end of the year, that becomes a tax credit to them when they're making returns in their own country, because you can't be taxed twice.
Now, so the next question, the next thing that follows on from that, Jerry, is it's obvious to me that what's going to happen here is that Irish and Irish-based actors are going to start relocating to other countries where they can get the more favourable contracts if something isn't sorted out here and soon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a sense, there's always been a sense, and it's even going back to my early days in the 70s and 80s, that you were a better actor if you left the country and worked in London or Los Angeles or New York. But if you stayed at home, you didn't have the same, if you like, cachet or respect that, you know, would fall to somebody who lived in London or Los Angeles. And it's, by the way, it's very tough even here, but it's just tough to go away and get started. So it's very hard work to get any degree of success in any city. But yes, you're quite right. A lot of Irish actors, the best of our talent, will actually leave because there's two factors involved. One of the better terms and conditions that are negotiated by Screen Actors Guild and by UK Equity, but there's also the amount of work. So when work is coming in here, surely we should, you know, if we're supporting them with taxpayers' money, the incoming companies who will have the advantage of having a huge amount of content available to them, that they should, if they're being supported by Irish taxpayers, they should be bringing in their terms and conditions as well. So if I'm working for an American company, why am I not working on their terms and conditions? I'm working on some sort of local agreement where the union hasn't been strong enough to deal with the local producers to get the correct terms and conditions. So it comes down to that sort of inequality and inequity, and that's how it's created. And yes, it is, you know, it is hollowing out the value of our Indigenous performers, because it's simply impossible to make a living, even if you're working on one of the big TV series.
Yeah, and the last time we spoke, Jerry, I think everyone listening, yourself included, could gauge my incredulity at this and my difficulty in comprehending how in this day and age that could be allowed and that that was possible. I got my head around the mechanics of it and how it works eventually, thanks to you, but I still to this day am befuddled by the unfairness of it.
Well, the unfairness of it is one thing. I mean, you know, it is grossly unfair, and it's basically the fact that one party was able to exert a particular strength over another party, and that's what's happening. And it's also down to the fact that, you know, the EU law, the EU directive recognises something about the whole performance area, is that individual performers have very little ability to negotiate with a big producer, because, you know, they will offer you something that looks like a very good deal. And people say, oh, you're on X100 a day or whatever. You're not. They're actually, as I said to you, you're buying out 50 years of usage over a period. So an individual performer has very little strength when trying to negotiate, because they simply say, well, that's the terms and conditions. If you don't want them, then, you know, we'll get somebody else. So that's one of the things that happens quite frequently in Ireland. So there's that fear from young performers, because they want to get their first job. They want to get that job and get on. So they tend to sign stuff without fully knowing what their rights are, and their rights are not explained to them. And that creates a very difficult position for the individual. So as president of the union, one of my jobs is going to educate all our members as to how film, you have to know how film financing works, how the distribution works, the fact that the real return for the state will probably, for performance, will not be in the point of production where people are employed and taxed and paying VAT and, you know, all of those things that are good for the state and create employment. But for the performers, it's what can happen over the next 10, 15, 20 years if the film is a huge success, because it would be possible then to actually get more than you're paid at the point of production, because your residual fees are based proportionately. It has to be appropriate and proportionate share in the financial life of the film. So you have to be able to negotiate and write your contracts so that that happens. And that's a very difficult thing to do.
Now, those of you who were listening the last time I spoke to Jerry will be aware of an anecdotal story which he gave me, and I just want to run back over it briefly. Jerry Are the royalty checks still coming from Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was a job that I did in 2005, 2006. And they still arrive in quite regularly. So that comes into this country after all these years, and it's added to my returns and my tax returns, and it's taxed in this country. But any of the work that I've done here that has been sold in the States or shown in the States through an Irish producer, I haven't received any residual payments from that. So that means there's a loss of revenue back into the States over the 50 years. We have our rights for 50 years, and for 50 years, those rights generate revenue back to us, is what the legislation says should happen. But, the producers here tended to have used documents which were called buyout documents, where we had to agree that whatever they paid was fair, whether it was fair or not. Otherwise, you wouldn't work.
Yeah, in other walks of life, Jerry, as you and I know, there's another name for those type of contracts, but we will not run the risk of a defamation action.
They are what they are. They're buyouts. They're buying out all your future potential earnings, and they're buying out all the future value of your intellectual property. That's what they're doing.
Jerry, same question I'm going to finish with today, as I finished the last time we spoke. In the name of God, I know it can't come soon enough, but when do you expect a resolution in your favour in relation to this?
Well, I'll keep working on it until the day I stop breathing, but I'll make sure that, you know, whatever I can do, I will make sure that actors know what they're doing. And they will fight. It'll eventually come down to, if you want a fair industry that's supported by the taxpayer in this country, then it's going to have to be, as you said, possibly at a legislative level. But I'm quite prepared to sit across the table from anybody, provided they're going to be fair and not treat me in the situation where they think I don't know what's going on, because I've spent a long time, instead of reading scripts, which I would prefer to do, reading a lot of the legislation and trying to read contracts and trying to make sense of them. The industry was set up mainly by the producers themselves to their benefit, to their full benefit. And unfortunately, we were behind the scenes, because everybody believes in some industry that, oh, if the producers are doing well, then everybody is doing well. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It's a really difficult industry to get a handle on. And because it's glamorous, people listening to me now are saying, what's he complaining about? He's got a great gig. He's doing his work. But, it's a tough job to do what you're doing. And you're giving people a piece of yourself that they can exploit for the next 50 years. So people have to remember that. And I always say to people, whatever you think an actor is earning on the day, divide it by 50 if it's a buyout contract, because that's what he's getting each year. And these are productions that can earn tens of millions in revenue streams, hundreds of millions in revenue streams and occasions. So you have to consider all of that. But it is the fact that you have to consider that the actor is an asset to the state because of his intellectual property. Because if his intellectual property is drawing funds into his community, into the state, then it's as valuable as any of the money the state puts in, because it raises the value of the actor.
And as the old saying goes, Jerry, and you know it as well as I do, if it was that simple and that easy, everybody would be doing it.
That's true. It's a very tough profession. And as I said to you before, my aim, and this is where I have to reach out to people to understand it, I'm not doing this for me at this stage, because it's been detrimental to my career, because I know that for a fact. But the simple fact is, I have to consider every young performer who is going into their first days in drama school, that whatever happens, I have to work hard to try and leave a better industry for them. Because if the state is investing in them and saying this is a great industry, then it has to protect their rights within that industry. So, there's a huge investment from the public here. It's a great industry to have in the country. It has every, possibility of exploding and becoming one of the most important industries in the economy, because entertainment is one of the biggest industries. It goes, there's a top three industries in the world. There's the arms industry, the beauty industry, and the entertainment industry, and they keep changing as to which is going to be the most valuable. So they're the top three, and we're in the top three. So if we have a chance to become a really valuable industry, you have to value the very simple fact that it's the actors and the talent and the designers and all of the creative talent who have copyright, they have to be protected, because it's easy to take those rights away from people. So you have to protect them. So it's a good investment to invest and make sure that their rights are protected, because, as I say, I bring money into the state from a job in 2016, and that's taxed, but I don't bring any money into the state from the work that I've done here on old contracts, you know, that have gone out and sold all over the world. So it's a problem. It's a problem that has to be addressed.
President of Irish Equity, Gerry O'Brien. Gerry, thanks for talking to me again, and as second time, and it as was as much of a pleasure this time as it was on the last occasion. Equally frustrating, I would think, for both of us, because it is such a simple fix and nobody in authority seems to be paying a blind bit of attention to it, and that I find very, very, very annoying. Gerry,
well, I think you're helping me hugely to shine a spotlight on the issue, so I appreciate your time and thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners as well.
Gerry, it is my pleasure. That's what we're here to do. Gerry, I will talk to you again, because we will keep an eye on this and we will keep it under observation, and we will do anything we can to help you and your cause, because I just think it's downright unfair. Gerry O'Brien, thank you so much indeed for joining me this afternoon.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.